Good morning, church. Welcome all of you again to our Sunday service. All of us are here, not just because we woke up at the right time, not just because we came, but because God has called us to be here as a shepherd is calling his sheep. He has called us so that we would listen to him, meet with him, experience him, and talk to him and commune with him. And that's the whole purpose of us coming to service every Sunday. How's your past week? We are already in November, which means we have about a month and a half for Christmas. And oh, by the way, reminder for all of you that we have a Christmas celebration that's coming up for English congregation. So my wife Esther is the main coordinator of this event. And we want to, yes, celebrate the Christmas with our community, but this time we want to also make it a little bit different way so that we can actually make this event as an outreach event where we can invite our friends, our neighbors too, to celebrate this Christmas together, not just within us, but together with our friends and with our neighbors. So just remembering how Jesus Christ as a first missionary coming down from the heaven to the earth, we want to follow his footstep. You know, doesn't make this program the missional way. We want to celebrate it not just in a way that we just build trees and spending good time with our family, which is all good, but we want to celebrate in a way that we actually take this as an opportunity, the season of Christmas as an opportunity for us to share about what this Christmas is all about and who Jesus Christ is. We're in November. We also have about 2 months till the end of this year. So as we have another year closing in, what's the most important question that we have to answer? I believe that's the question of our purpose. Where are we coming from and where are we going? What are we living for? Why do we exist? What we need to do is bring all these questions to our God who created us in his purpose. So what's our purpose? Well, God has clearly said to us through Isaiah 43. He said, everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Meaning, everyone living in the world, whether this person believes in God or not, including all of us here, were made for the purpose of glorifying God. I know that this is like a very common thing that we hear all the time. We hear it from the pulpit on Sunday, every time, in Sunday school, in Bible studies, in fellowships. We're always told, people talk about how we need to live for the glory of God, whether we study or work or whatever we do, we eat or drink for the glory of God. I know that this is a classic thing that we always hear about, but there's a reason why we always hear about it. And that is because this is it. Because we don't have any other purpose that could substitute this purpose. There's a reason why we hear it all the time. Though it is a very classic thing that we hear about, because we have no other purpose than this. So instead of taking us, taking this purpose as just cliche, we actually need to take a look on this again, more seriously, what it really means for us. Because this is the purpose and one purpose that God made us for. So what does that mean? What we want to do, firstly is that we want to take a look throughout the Bible how this purpose is being unfolded. So let's start from the Genesis. We know that God made the heavens and the earth, and after he made Adam and Eve in his image. And after that, he blessed them and said, go be fruitful and multiply and fill the whole earth. What does this have to do with the glory of God? We need to remember Imago Dei, which means we're made in the image of God, to reflect who he is to the world. In other words, we're made for being the reflection of the glory of God. So what his children, starting from Adam and Eve, filling the whole earth means the glory of God filling the whole earth. What it means for his children who bear his image being fruitful and multiplied in his glory being multiplied in the whole world. So this is the reason why God told Adam and Eve to make their spiritual children, so that they can be fruitful and multiply, filling the whole earth with the glory of God, as they themselves were the reflection of His glory. It seemed for a moment, because of the fall of man in Genesis 3, His plan got interrupted, but God started His redemptive plan through Abraham by saying in Genesis 12, "All nations will be blessed through you. I'll bless you, I'll make you into a nation, and all nations will be blessed through you." What does that mean? We know that later through Abraham, this nation, this chosen nation named Israel, was formed by God. And this Israel, in the book of Exodus, was called as a priesthood nation, meaning, just like how in the Old Testament, priest was the one leading the people to God, leading people to worship God. That was the role, that was the purpose of Israel, being the priesthood nation, being the chosen nation. Israel would go out and be fruitful and multiply, bring other nations, lead other nations to worship God. That was the whole purpose of Israel. But we know the history of Israel in the Old Testament. They utterly failed to live according to this God-given purpose. So now, the true Israel, the true Jew, the true Savior Jesus Christ comes after to accomplish everything that Israel failed to follow. He has come to accomplish this original purpose of being fruitful and multiply. And that's the reason He gave us the Great Commission to restore the purpose. He said, "Go make disciples of all nations." Meaning, now go with My love, with My power, with My presence, with My authority. Be fruitful and multiply. Make your spiritual children, make disciples. From the Father God and to the Son, this original purpose is being sustained. And now in the Holy Spirit, if you look at Book of Acts, chapter 1 and 8, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll have the power to be the witness in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in all Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And now through the Holy Spirit, people becoming His witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in all Judea, and to the ends of the earth, filling the whole earth, being fruitful and multiply. So now, from the Father, God, the Son, and Holy Spirit, they all say to us the same thing over and over again. This original purpose started from the Father, God, is now said in the Son by the Great Commission, and now in the Holy Spirit. We see the fulfillment because we're living in the era of Holy Spirit. And we see this countless churches and believers and disciples are being reproduced and formed all over the world now. And this is a fulfillment of God's purpose for the mankind. That's being fulfilled even today, even right now. As we can now see here, this original purpose, which was firstly given to Adam and Eve, is still given to us today for us to be fruitful and multiply, making disciples, sharing Jesus, impacting the world, and reveal the glory of God. God's purpose of our lives for our lives was always about this. And this is what I mean by the gospel multiplication, being fruitful and multiplying the name of God, reflecting His glory. And this is the purpose that we're made for, and this is the purpose we have to live for today. With that in mind, let's go to our passage today. We see Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem in John 12 now. People shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And there were also some Greeks, some Gentiles, coming to worship God. And they wanted to see Jesus. They said, "Sir," they asked the disciples of Jesus, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." When Jesus heard this request, His response was very interesting. He didn't go like, "Okay, I'll give you 5 minutes. Let's have some Q&A sessions. Let's have some small group time. You know, you can ask me some questions. I can give you a signature if you want." He didn't go like that. Instead, He said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." This is like classic pattern of Jesus, right? It feels like sometimes he's not answering the question people ask him, just talking about other things. But in fact, he is answering the question with his purpose in his mind. To truly see Jesus as who he is, to see his beauty and his glory that will lead us to worship him, to truly see Jesus in this way, he has to go to the cross to forgive our sins and to make us born again with a new hearts, with new desires, and with new spiritual eyesight to see as who he really is, as our beautiful Savior, as the King of Kings, as the Creator of the universe, as the lover of our soul. In order for us to see him in that way, he has to go to the cross, becomes this grain of wheat, falling to the ground, dies, bearing many fruits. His cross, in fact, is the first form of the gospel multiplication. It is a true form of fulfilling God-given purpose of being fruitful and multiplied. How? Look at what Jesus says. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He describes himself as a grain of wheat falling to the ground, dying, and bearing much fruit. Through one sacrifice, many lives will be saved. Through one grain of wheat falling down, the whole harvest will be produced. This is a gospel message. This is what Jesus did. This is how Jesus fulfilled the God-given purpose on behalf of every human beings. This is what it truly means for us to be fruitful and multiply, to be like Jesus. So here's a question we need to ask ourselves then. Okay, that's what's happening globally. This is what Jesus did. But do we see this happening in our lives? Do we see this happening in our community or even in our church? Being a pastor, I have many opportunities to visit funerals. One of the most memorable funerals I had my life was a funeral of my former lead pastor, which was last year, and that's why I can still remember so vividly, and my memory is still so fresh. I can remember every single details of what happened, what I saw, and what I experienced. He was one of the best mentors that I had in my life. He was a tender and loving guy, so faithful and humble. Little bit shy at times. He was so tender and loving. Not quick to judge. He never tried to control me or manage me. He was there loving me, shepherding me, nurturing me, supporting me, listening to me. And I was under him as a youth pastor. When he passed away, I found out it wasn't just myself, but tons of other people who were influenced by this pastor. At his funeral, I was able to hear countless testimonies about how God used him to impact lives by showing Christ-like character, being an inspiration to so many people, and so many people being changed by his ministry and life, and so many godly friendships that he had. Oh man, it was the most beautiful funeral that I ever saw. So much tears and joys filled with the glory of God. And there I was able to understand, okay, this is what Jesus meant when he said about the grain of wheat. A grain of wheat falling to the ground, bearing many fruits when it dies. So the question is, what do you think the people will say about you at your funeral? What do you think people will say or how people will describe about your life? And more importantly, what is God going to say about our lives when we stand before Him and see Him face to face? A self-centered life cannot bear fruits, but only selfless life does. When we become all about ourselves, we tend to go inward and we become the center of our lives and even the center of the world. This also applies to church community. When the church ceases to be fruitful and multiply at some point, we become all about ourselves. We start talking about things like who has more influence, who has more power, who's more spiritual, who prays more, who has a better Bible knowledge, who has a better Bible teaching skill or worship leading skills, who has a better character. You know, the competition starts happening. Political parties are being formed. I follow this leader, this group, this is my group, this is my own clique. Why? Because the church has lost her mission. Because we stop going out, we stop reaching out, we keep going inward more and more and more. And we become so self-focused. But a self-centered community can never bear fruits. A self-centered community can never go out and be fruitful and multiply. And this is what C.S. Lewis exactly meant when he said, "The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose." Meaning, there's no purpose in everything we do right now in church in our lives unless we do them for this ultimate purpose of making disciples, being fruitful and multiply, filling the whole city with the glory of God. Is this what's happening in our community? Is this what's happening in our fellowship? In our small groups? In our family? In our lives? So we can see an example in the Bible too. Israel, when she fails to live according to God's purpose, being the priesthood nation, leading other nations to God, she instead started following other Gentile nations and committing endless idolatry against God. The whole nation got corrupted when it ceases to be fruitful and multiply, when it lost her mission, her purpose. When the church loses her mission and her purpose, her corruption in the same way is inevitable. And this applies to all of us individually as well. Do you see this, the gospel multiplication happening in our lives today? Do we see in our lives that we're living according to this purpose of being fruitfully multiplied? Do we have anyone in our lives being impacted by our lives, by what we share, what we preach, and how we live, our character, and how we serve and how we love? Is there anyone in our lives falling in love with Jesus through us? Is there anyone in our lives that are drawing closer to God through our lives? If we fail to live according to our purpose, our corruption is inevitable. So how can we see this happening in our lives, in our community? If we do not see this happening, if this is not happening in our lives, in our community, how can we revive this happening again? How can we see this gospel multiplication happening again? What do you think the answer is? The question is, what do you think we're lacking? Do you think it is not happening because we're lacking money, lacking resources, lacking volunteers, lacking Bible knowledge, lacking great leadership, lacking great pastor, lacking church system, lacking healthy church culture? We talk about these things a lot, right? We say, this is a problem for our church. And if we fix that, everything will get better. And we're going to be so fruitful and multiply. Our church will grow like crazy if we fix this one. And I think every one of us has this view and has this idea of this is how church can get better. So I just want to hear from you today. What is your answer? What is your suggestion? Because all the things that we said here, whether that's a lacking resources or lacking volunteers, lacking healthy culture, lacking church system, lacking great leadership, the truth is, none of this is a true reason for us not being fruitful and multiply. We should really stop complaining about these things because these are not the true reason. So let's look at how Jesus answers us about this question. He says, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. In verse 25 and 26, what does that mean? Jesus is saying here, if you want to live fruitfully, you gotta first of all look into your heart. That's your first step. What is the attitude that you have towards your life? Do you love your life or hate your life? Meaning, Jesus is saying, if you love your life so much to the point that you don't want to lose it, you're obsessed with it, you're so in love with it, your family, your friends, your hobby, your house, your car, your everyday life, you're so in love with it, then you're gonna lose your whole life. But if you have something else that you love above that, if you have someone that you love more than your life, all the things that you said, you're gonna have eternal life. That's what Jesus is saying here. Here Jesus talking about our heart and our attitude towards life. Why? Because look at the next verse. He says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. It's because our attitude towards life is related to our attitude towards Christ. We can't serve two masters. When we love our lives or any aspects of our lives more than we love Jesus, we can't love him. And that's what exactly he's saying here. If you love your life and yourself so much, you cannot love me, follow me, or serve me, you'll lose everything in the end. In other words, the fruitfulness in our lives depends on, starts from what kind of heart that we have for Christ. So then the true reason why the gospel multiplication is not happening in our lives or in our church or community is because of only one reason, only one. And that is because we're lacking in our love for Jesus. And sometimes we're trying everything else, but not that one, right? I mean, what did you do for fostering your love for Jesus for the past week? How much do you spend your money on? How much time do you give? How much resources are you using for this purpose of leading yourself to love Jesus more? I mean, look at your credit card statement. What percentage of your money goes for helping yourself to grow in your love for Jesus? It's because your love for Jesus, your connection with Jesus dictates the fruitfulness in your life. And that's exactly what Jesus said in John 15. He said, when he said, I am the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It's not because of a lack of resources, lack of money, lack of system, lack of leadership, lack of program. All of those things are very important things, I know. But those are not the reason for this. It's because of our love for Jesus that's so lacking. That's the only reason if the gospel multiplication is not happening in our lives. What we need is not a new system, but a new heart that cherishes Christ above all things. That's what we need to ask. That's what we need to say, that only if we have this, only if we have the burning love for Jesus, our church will change. Only if I have burning love for Jesus, my life will be transformed. This is the true reason. This is the true solution. And that this is exactly what Jesus is saying here. Look into your heart. Do you love me? And that's the only reason if we don't have any disciples in our lives. Why? Because you can't make people to fall in love with Jesus when you're not. So you want to live for free? Find something that helps you to fall in love with Him. Give your life to it. Church, we need to do every fellowships, services, worship, prayer programs, Bible studies, games, and mealtime. Everything for this purpose, to help ourselves to love Jesus more. And also in our lives, whether we eat or drink, whether we are taking care of our babies, whether we are going out play with our friends or hanging out, whether we have the free time or resting time, we do all those things for this purpose, to love Jesus. To love Jesus. This purpose should be the center of our lives, because this is what's going to change us. This is what's going to make us and help us to make disciples, to be fruitful and multiply and filling the whole earth with the glory of God. It all starts from our hearts. It all starts from the change of our hearts. It all starts from our love for Jesus. Our love for Jesus will help us to take up our cross, serving Him and following Him, becoming another grain of wheat, falling to the ground, dies, and bearing many fruits that glorify God. This is the reason, and this is the purpose that we have in our lives, to love Jesus more and more and more. And that's going to make us to be connected with Him, to be fruitful. Amen. So this is the end of our first session about this topic. In our next session, we're going to talk about more practical examples of what it means for us to be grain of wheat in our daily lives, and what it means for us to glorify God through our lives, and what it means for us to be fruitful and multiply. In a more practical example, we're going to share about it. I really want to encourage all of us today to reflect upon what we discussed here today. So in the coming week, do anything to help you fall in love with Jesus. Do anything that helps you foster your love for Jesus. Find anything. Do anything for this purpose. And do everything for this purpose. I bless you. I love you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you that You're the God who has called us first, who has loved us first, before we love You, before we called You. And Lord, You always take initiative to come to us and to speak to us again when we are not in the right place, and You help us to follow and to live according to Your purpose. Father God, thank You so much that You have given us the purpose. You didn't make us with no purpose, just living cluelessly, but Lord, You have clearly said to us the very purpose that we have to live for. But Lord, we confess that many times it's not that we don't know this purpose, but we are asking for other purpose that we might like. So Father, we know that what we need is our submission and our obedience to You, that comes from our love for You. Father, would You pour out Your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit supernaturally, that we can fall in love with You. Oh, Father God, help us to prioritize our lives for this purpose of loving You. Anything that we do, everything that we do, oh God, help us to do it for this purpose of loving You and fostering our love for You, oh God. So Lord, would You just continually lead us and shepherd us, continually bring us closer to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.